Ephesians chapter 6. We are beginning at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at 16. Seems like we'll be able to complete the book of Ephesians next Sunday. And after next Sunday, we will all be able to say that we've all went through at least one book in the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. It reads thus: "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We want to continue our series, The Armor of the Christian Soldier. The armor of the Christian soldier. Paul has been quite deliberate with us as he has given us quite a few nuggets and principles that we should be able to stand on as we are believers on this journey. He began out expressing to us that this war that we are a part of, this battle that we are a part of, is not a physical one, but it is a spiritual battle. He tells us in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this dark and present age, against the present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil. We stand. He says, we fight against the principalities of evil. We fight against the devil. Devil wants, and I've said it and can't stop saying it, we have to be adamantly clear about this. The devil wants to destroy the life of every believer. He doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want you to have joy. He doesn't, watch this, he doesn't want you to trust God. The devil wants to destroy our lives. That's his aim. He has taken aim at the believer. Amen. Look, the devil's not really concerned with sinners because he already got them. You remember when he had us, don't you? He already got them. You know, he didn't have to make you go to the club and stay all night and get your head bad and all that. You know, that was already on your list to do. Amen. He didn't have to make you tiptoe and so forth. He didn't have to make you lie, didn't have to make you steal. That was in your MO. But when we became believers, he took direct aim. And he is challenging us every single day, causing and attempting to cause struggle and hurt and destruction in our lives. He wants to destroy us. But the beauty is that God has given us power, and not only has he given us power, but he's given us the understanding of his divine presence with us so that we're able to resist and stand firmly against Satan. He told us, Paul teaches us, he's taught us, you know, that there were several pieces of equipment that are necessary for every soldier. He told us the belt of truth is necessary. We understand that to be the equipment which is used for our commitment. We have to be committed to this battle, committed to it, knowing already that the enemy will use whatever he can in order to keep us from doing God's will. Yes. Tuck in those loose ends. Yes. Yes. So that Satan can't pull us and make us stumble. Amen. Paul teaches us in verse 14 also, the breastplate of righteousness, which we understand it to be to live with integrity. Protect our hearts from dishonesty, from unrighteous living. He says, continue to strive after the righteousness of Christ. Focus and aim your every bit of being and living to do what is right. Even when others around you are not doing what's right, he says, do what's right. Don't compromise your integrity just so that you can fit in. Don't compromise your integrity just so that you can be with the status quo. Because everybody else says it's all right. Don't compromise your integrity because people put a guilt trip on you and say, well, I figured you was going to, you know, I figured you were going to agree with them anyway, or you were going to be. don't compromise your integrity to the gospel. Don't compromise your integrity to the peace that God gives. Don't compromise your integrity to God. Allow yourself to live righteous, he says. And then he tells us, he told us in verse 15, on the shoes of readiness. Stay prepared. Prepared to share our testimony. Prepared by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of peace, so that we can have peace. And we can bring peace to the lives of others. But it is today in verse 16. He's quite deliberate. As he teaches us, he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The picture is that of a soldier who's standing, and there are arrows being launched at him, which have been dipped in pitch or some type of accelerant, which will cause it to combust or become fiery. And it is launched to destroy his enemy. Paul, no doubt, was familiar with the practices of war in those days. And he took notice of the equipment of the Roman soldier. And he wasn't talking about the shield that many of us have seen that's just round and just for hand-to-hand combat. You know, for sword fighting and so forth, but he's speaking of a shield, and not talking about the small round, but he's speaking of the shield, which means this great oblong shield, which is worn by the soldier, which can protect his body. It's large enough for him to even step to stand in the ground and hide behind. All right. So that when he sees the arrows coming, He has a shield to protect him. And the shield would in many ways extinguish or put the fire out. Because all shields were not made of wood. Wood could easily burn, but a fiery dart or a fiery arrow aimed at the shield or even hitting the shield would be deflected if the shield is of some hard metal or of some sort. And it was thick enough and strong enough for him to protect himself. Paul says, likewise, the believer has to have this shield, watch this, of faith that protects him from all of the arrows that Satan himself lunges. How many of you know that Satan is on the attack? He sends his incendiary bombs at us. And he's not aiming at the shield. He's aiming at you. He's aiming at me. He's aiming at your life. He doesn't want you to be successful in Christ. He doesn't want you to be successful in living for God and in the will of God. He says, protect yourself with the shield of faith. Protect yourself with the shield of faith. Protect yourself with knowing that regardless of the circumstance, because that's what he says, in all circumstances. You can't just have faith when stuff is going all right. And you can't just go to pick up your shield when trouble comes. Let me see if I can clarify this. Here it is. Picture a soldier who's walking around and everything is okay and his shield is back in the barracks. And he's going on about his business out on the battleground, just walking around as if there's no enemies or whatever and just whistling Dixie. And here comes the darts at him. He's not going to have ample enough time to run from the battleground back to the barracks to get his faith, or rather, get his shield. He says, even when it looks good, have your shield with you. When things are looking good, there's no sign of the enemy, when there is no sign of heartache, when there is no sign of pain, have your shield. He says you got to have your faith so that when the arrows come, you can just duck and hold your shield. And the interesting thing about it is this is why I really love the imagery of this, because it helps me to understand that there is power in surrounding yourself with other soldiers with shields. Picture this. The soldiers are out on the battleground and they all have their shields, and the enemy, have you all seen the movies where the enemy begins to fly the arrows and somebody says, shields up! And all of the soldiers who are in the line, they lock arms and the shields come together and the arrows, they just bounce off because of the, all the shields are, come here, come here, come here. You ought to have your shield because your faith is not just for you, but it's for others around you. It strengthens others. We are stronger together, even as a church. We are stronger together in our faith. Our faith is displayed when we can pat each other on the back and encourage them and say, just trust the Lord. God will make a way. I don't know how he's going to do it, but believe me, baby, he'll do it. You know, I ain't been there where you are, but I know that God can do it. And then you may be in the place and say, well, I've been there. I've done that. Look, take it from me. Who knows? You can trust him. He'll show up. You just got to believe. You got to believe. I know it looks bad. I know it feels bad. I know it hurts. But baby, keep your shields up. He says, keep your faith. He says, be faithful. Be faithful. That's really what it is. It's a call to being faithful. Being faithful. Everything doesn't always work out the way we want it to work out. But here's the thing. And I don't mean this to be ugly, but let me just say, you ain't in charge. So we can't choose how it works out. When you've got faith that says God's in charge and I can trust him in spite of what's going on, that becomes your protection. Amen. It becomes your protection. The worst thing in the world is to have a soldier who walks around with his shield and says, well, it ain't going to do nothing. Yeah, I got a shield. You know, folks, you got your shield? Yeah, I got one, but I don't know if it's going to work. Shield must be utilized. Is this making sense? It is a call to being faithful. He says, be faithful. Look, let me tell you what happens when we are faithful. One thing is that we please God when we are faithful. I ain't got nothing deeper than that. We please him. And look, I got some backup. The scripture teaches us that we please him when we are faithful. Remember in Hebrews 11 and 6, he says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever, now here's your shield, would draw near to God must believe that he exists. That's a part of the faith, believing that God exists. But watch this. The writer doesn't stop there. He says, and that he rewards those who seek him. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Faith starts with trusting that God exists. He is alive. He knows what's going on. That's what faith said. God knows what's going on. He knows my problem. He knows my pain. He knows my trouble. I hold on to the faith that he's around. I don't see him all the time, but I know he's here somewhere. And truth be told, there's some time, and I'm talking as a preacher, even as a preacher, there's some times that I don't even feel him, but I know he's there. That's what faith says. Faith says, he's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. I trust him. I believe him. I believe he exists. But not only do I believe he exists, but I also believe that he rewards or he takes care of things. Whatever I'm dealing with, wherever I am, God can fix it.
And if he doesn't fix it, that's all right, because he still can fix it. That's my faith. Amen. You remember my favorite fellas. You know, them three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember the three Hebrew boys, don't you? They said, "Look, King, we are not going to bow because our God is able." They were still placed in the fiery furnace. They still were placed in the fiery furnace. But they didn't back down from their faith. They kept the shields up. Oh, boy. The Lord is talking today. Look. They kept the shields up so much so that, look, when they were led to the fiery furnace, the fellas that were putting them in the furnace burned up. Now, look, I'm just a critical thinker, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wait a minute. If the guys who threw them in the furnace burned up, they could have got away. But they still walked in the furnace and stayed there until the king came and saw that they were still alive. Sometimes, watch this, come here, I'm trying to help somebody. Sometimes God will allow some stuff to happen in your life. And you just got to walk in and face it so that others can say, wait a minute. What kind of God is this? You can keep your shields up. Look, he may not, and I know what the old folk meant when they said, you know, they said he took the heat out the fire.
Yes, sir.
I know what they meant, you know what I'm saying? But that ain't what the text says. I'm saying that the fellas that brought them burned up. It was seven times hotter than it usually would be. And even the rope that they were bound to burned up. What I'm trying to say is that, look, if God don't, look, he may not take you out of the fire, but he'll fireproof you. You just got to trust him. You just got to trust him. You got to have your shield on and say, look, I don't know why God is doing this or what I'm dealing with, but guess what? I know that he's able. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Look. You got to be faithful. Be faithful. Psalms 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. And he will act. Somebody ought to write that on their mirror. Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. That's what a shield is. Committing our way to the Lord. Trust him. And he will act. He'll act. Trust him. That's what faith does. That's what the shield of faith does. The shield of faith empowers us to keep trusting God, or it empowers, it activates the work of God in our lives. Sometimes we don't know what God is. Look, let me just tell you the truth. There are many times I don't know what God is up to. You know how much trouble God get me in around here? Telling folk, you know, no, we want to do it this way. No, we want to, I'm listening to the Lord. Let me pray about it. Let me see what the Lord said. This is what the Lord, you just don't know how much trouble the Lord get me in. I don't know what he's up to, but I know that he knows what he's doing. You got to have faith. Faith is not scary. Because you're going to have some folk that's not going to understand what you're doing. You're going to have some folk that's going to, you know, that will try to intimidate you and hurt you and make you feel bad and make you feel guilty and make you feel. But you've got to be able to stand and say, look, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I believe the Lord. I don't know why the Lord wants 1/10 of my earnings, but I trust him. I knew they were going to get quiet there, Lord. But, you know. I trust him. And that's what he says. He says, trust him. That's what Paul is calling for. Paul is calling for every Christian soldier to trust God. Have faith in God. It gets rough. You're in a battle, and you have to remember that. We have to remember that we are in a battle. When I was serving in the military, I had to go 6 months over in Korea. And in Korea, they have what is called the DMZ. That's the that's your zone. And here's the thing. What that meant was that actually, both sides were still in conflict. There had been a ceasefire, but the war was still going on. So if you were to, in their design, they were right next to each other. And if you were to even cross over there, you become captive of the war. Because it was still a war going on. And so what had to happen is every soldier had to always have his rounds and have his Kevlar and all of his equipment on, because you never knew what was going to pop off, because you were in the DMZ. War was still going on. There were not any shots being fired. Nobody was holding guns at each other, but it was understood we're still in a war. And I'm afraid there are many of us who are Christians who have forgotten that we are in battle. Satan wants to kill and destroy you. You can't walk unarmed. You can't walk. You cannot walk without your shield. Don't walk around like everything is all right and he ain't going to get you. There may be some ceasefires, but believe me, you're still in battle. Does that make sense? And faith says, I trust God. Here's the next thing. Let me move on. I promise y'all we'll be through by Thursday. Okay, so I got to get this one. Look, here's the next thing he says to us. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look, the helmet of salvation reminds us to remain focused. The helmet covered the head and the mind of the soldier. See, without his head, he wouldn't have the wherewithal to conduct himself and behave as a soldier in war. His thinking ability would have been impaired. And for a soldier, his thinking is an important factor in determining victory over defeat. Had to be thinking. He has to understand when to move, when not to move, where to move, and what to do. So he says, put your head of salvation on. That word salvation really means deliverance. He says, put on your helmet of deliverance. Put it on. He said, put it on. The helmet of salvation protects the mind of the Christian soldier. The helmet of salvation is a reminder that, look, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. It reminds him that he's been delivered. Reminds him of who, not only who he is, but whose he is. The truth is that it keeps him focused on Christ. It's easy to be distracted in this day and time. The world is tugging at you at all kinds of stuff. You know, Satan just throwing everything at you. And it's easy to be, especially in the day of postmodernism, where, you know, there are no absolutes. You know, there's no such thing as truth, according to the postmodern thinkers. So he says, don't be easily distracted. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Focus on Jesus. That's what it is. Focus on the Lord. Don't place your mind, don't be conformed to what the world says, and what the world says is okay. You know what I'm saying? And look, believe me, the world has said a whole lot of stuff is okay that really isn't okay. Amen. I mean, you've got a whole list of stuff they saying is okay, it's all right. But don't be distracted by the world's ideas. He says, hold to your salvation. Keep your deliverance. Trust God. And then he tells us how to do it. He says, do it with the word of God. You see it? It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the word of God that empowers us. It is the word of God that defends us. It is the word of God. And the only way we can do it is if we know the word of God. The sword. The sword was not only a defensive mechanism, but a defensive equipment, a defensive weapon, but it was also an offensive weapon. How do we destroy our enemies? How do we defeat our enemy? We defeat our enemy with the word of God. It was used to protect, but it was also used to fight. Remember when Jesus himself was being tempted by Satan in Matthew 4? He says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. He used it as protection and a weapon. The only way we can defeat Satan is through the word. Amen. And knowing his word. Reverend, how am I going to know the word of God? Well, you know how to know the word of God. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to go to Bible study. You got to get yourself in Sunday school. You got to go to church. Let the word fill you up. You want to be able to stand against Satan? Get his word. The clock done pushed me, y'all. Get his word. His word. We need the word of God. Not Lil Weezy's word. Yeah. They were interviewing him on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't understand a word he said. And he making millions of dollars saying nothing. Bringing no hope to anybody's life. Calling your daughter and my daughter all kind of names. Those are not the words we need in us. You want some word that's going to fulfill you and bring you and strengthen you, get the word of God. If you can dance to Lil Wayne, you can definitely dance to the word of God. Hello. If Jay-Z can make you hop, the word of God ought to make you hop. If Beyonce can make you shake it or whatever, God's word ought to have a greater effect on your life. Because that won't hold you, but God's word will. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God. You need his word. I need his word. We need his word. Reverend, I don't know why I feel so empty, because you got your mind on all that other stuff. It's your mind on the word of God. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. Have you referred to the word? I'm just trying to have more joy. I need more in my life. How much more word do you have? You go to Ray's Boom Boom Room. After you done spent all your money to get there. Spent all your money when you get in there. Sweat all your clothes out. You leave, come home. Can't wake up the next morning hardly. Better get the word of God. I'm through now. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you and we magnify you. We ask that our hearts would be able to stand, be able to work and walk in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I apologize.